Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a tank of Race Villa.
Cheers. Offer to Mother.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
How are we doing? Are we all right?
Oh, yeah. Good, thank you.
All
are you?
Good.
Yeah,
good,
sound. Good. You been busy?
Not really, no.
Just working,
be honest.
Working.
Work.
Yeah. Rob's just said he's not been busy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's ever
mentioned them words before in his life.
All right. I have been busy.
Well, so you were lying then to us.
I mean, I didn't want to get into it, but I'm literally taking the grout out of my patio. And it's a sore point because it's doing me head in.
Okay. Why are you taking grout out of your patio?
Oh, because it's knackered. Why? It wasn't done right in the first place.
All right.
Right. And I know we've talked about this in DIY episode.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, if you want a job doing right, do it yourself. And in that episode, I didn't say that. But yeah, and it weren't done right. It weren't done to the correct depth. So now I'm having to rake it all out and put it all back in again.
Okay. And is it done?
No.
How many have you done? Two slabs?
I'm expecting it done by end of August to September of this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Next year?
No, it will be done before then, but it's just taking so long. And obviously, you're trying to do it in between work, and then there's holidays planned, and there's, you know.
How much have you got left to do with it?
I'd say 75%.
To do,
yeah.
Wow.
Jesus, where?
And I bet any money I've spent on it already 8 hours.
Really?
And that's obviously,
are you
that's
doing
over
the entire
a few
street?
Days. No, it's just a nightmare, honestly. And I don't want to bore you with it. But
it's a good job they didn't put it in properly. It took you ages.
I know.
Hey, Mark.
Me?
You. Is your garage done yet?
Yeah. It's done.
Done.
Finished.
Finished?
Just about. There's about maybe 5% to do.
So it's not
finished?
Well, it is finished. Yeah, I've got my stuff back in it. Yeah, it's done. Yeah, I would say it's done.
All labelled up, all happy with it?
Yeah, well, they were labelled before.
Right.
Yeah. So I've just moved the boxes around into different places. But it's labelled up. In fact, I showed you the other day, Bob, when you came round.
Yeah, it looks great, mate.
Yeah,
I think it's really good.
What did you say to me? You said, can you come round to mine and do my garage?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's what you said.
So very organised.
So,
yes.
Mark's the first one to complete his New Year's resolution. Tick.
Tick, done.
No, 5% left to do.
All right,
5%,
yeah.
It'll be done for Sunday, because Reese is coming around Sunday to finish it off for me.
Right, okay.
So you're not even doing it?
No, I project manage it.
Oh, yeah.
We want photographic evidence.
No problem.
Of the completion.
Yeah. No problem, I can do that for you.
Picture a Mark with a clipboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been up to other Mark?
No, not really. Obviously, weather's picked up, hasn't it? So I've been making the most of the weather, spending time outside.
Good.
And whatever. But
nice.
I tell you what I have been doing.
Yep.
Have you seen New Clarkson Farm?
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant.
No.
I ain't got around to it yet, and I'm gutted because I love the first
two
good. Seasons.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's really good.
Is it?
And it's just been signed up for a fourth as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll just
it.
Listen to this, by the way. I can't even put into it. I don't know.
Have you watched it?
No, I know of it, but I've not watched it now.
Well,
but I'll be interested to see what you guys are on about.
Is there a reason why you haven't watched it? As in, are you purposely not interested, purposely don't like Clarkson? Or?
No, I like Clarkson. Clarkson's okay.
He's been too busy project managing someone putting shelves up in his garage.
That's right.
You don't
on the
like
money.
Farming, is that it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a farmer.
No.
So I'd watch it, but it's not something I'd get around
to. Do you
to
know what?
It.
It's one of few actual TV programmes that I would consider to be perfect.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a big statement.
Like, there's nothing I would change about it, apart from, I wish there were more of it.
Yeah.
I could watch an episode of that every day.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why there's that few episodes, to get the good quality content, isn't it?
Of course.
And there's a trade-off, isn't there?
Yeah.
Of course.
It's very
you
cleverly
You can water
edited.
It down and do 60 episodes, and they'd be like...
Is it like a fly-on-the-wall documentary, or is he talking to camera, or...
Both.
Both.
He does talk to camera.
Yeah.
I'd but, say it's oh, mainly okay. fly on the wall. It's meant to be us looking in on them running a farm.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But there's moments where he will interact with camera.
Is it? I mean, I presume it's real.
I know he's
got a real farm, by the way. But he's not playing like an exaggerated character himself. He's playing himself.
You could question whether that's Jeremy Clarkson all over. But he's no different to what he normally is.
I would say that if you were to look at it like that, season one, you do see more of him being Jeremy Clarkson, the character.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think as the seasons have gone on, I don't know what
see
you
more
guys
of a
think,
human side of him, don't you?
You are. You're seeing this human,
the
human
emotions.
Side. Yeah, the emotion breakthrough. But I just think that the program, it has it has drama, it has funny, you know, there's bits where I've literally been crying with laughing, and there's been bits where I've been crying genuinely because it's so sad. Mm. It's informative, yeah. It's highlighting, it's putting something on a platform and highlighting issues that there is in farming. In general, I find it, like I said, that I think it's perfect.
Yeah,
I do. I think it's perfect.
I always look at everything, you know, I'm like, from an editorial standpoint or an editing point, and that's also edited just absolutely perfect, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah.
They get everything, just that timing is just perfect. It's mm-hmm. critical.
So can I just ask then, so this farm he's got, because obviously I've not watched it, is it a massive farm?
It's 1,000 acres.
Is it a dairy farm? Has he got animals? Has he got crops? I mean, what?
Yes. No, yes, even. It's not dairy. No,
that's
but
that
he,
sort
he
of.
Does, get he, off. Does, he does keep animals and he does grow.
And does he
and
do it himself? I presume has he got farmers? Other staff?
That's the whole idea of the program. So basically, he's had this farm for a long time. It's 1,000 acres. It's huge. And he's had this farm for a long time, and he's always just paid, obviously, other people to operate and run the farm for him.
Okay, right.
And that's where he came up with the idea. He wanted to almost do it himself and see what that took. And that's where, like, season one starts from. Almost him learning to be a farmer. So he has other people.
I imagine he still is.
Well, learning. Yeah, of course. But he has other people around him that have become almost like characters in their own rights in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has people that obviously consultants and stuff. And it's just the sheer scale of it, the sheer size of it. And he tries new things. Like he tries having different types of animals. He's had cows. He's had pigs. He's had chickens and stuff, as well as crops and stuff.
Each series seems to hone in on a certain type of farming, doesn't it?
Yeah, or a different idea or a different side to it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Is he racing these animals? Is he like racing around farming?
No,
like he does like
pig racing and
pig
stuff.
Pig racing,
no.
Like he did on Top Gear.
It's not Babe.
I know you don't watch much telly. Mark or whatever, no. But I try and get everyone to watch it because I just think it's
you
pure
would
brilliance.
Find it very, very
I'm
funny.
Sure I would. I'm not opposed to it. It's just I'd have to sit down and watch it. And
would you give it a shot or would you just?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm not.
Have you seen it all then, Mark? All the new
ones?
No,
one? I think we've watched up to episode 7.
All right, so one more to go.
Yeah. It's just brilliant, isn't it?
How does this compare to seasons 1 and 2? Because I've not watched this season yet, but I'm up to the date.
It's really hard to say that. I would say it's on par with the others. And the reason why I would say that is because I think the others are perfect. Mm. Do you get what I mean? So I can't sit here and say it's better, it's worse. It's just... There is
an episode where I thought it did dip a little bit.
All right.
And it's one bit where... Jeremy and Caleb, it's a bit tense. They're doing stuff and it's like wheels are coming off a bit and he's having a go at him and, you know, and it looked a little bit like, to some extent staged, and I know a lot of it is, but sometimes it can be a little bit too obvious.
I don't know, he looked angry and Caleb then did look genuinely peed off.
There were some scenes where they did.
Yeah.
But there was another bit, that sort of led into that,
right?
And it almost like it went from they're playing on it to actually they really are peed off with each other.
I can see you treading on the eggshells to try not to.
I don't
want to
give
too much away.
Yeah, we've not done a spoiler alert, or what have we, on this? So I don't want to say, oh yeah, well in episode 4 all the piglets die. Spoiler alert!
Yeah.
do they die?
A lot of them do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not watching that.
It certainly, again, I know we've mentioned it before in previous episodes or whatever, it certainly brings to the forefront of farming in general.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great platform that Clarkson's using to really put it in people's minds. And I didn't know anything about farming.
No, absolutely. And things like having, what do they call them, with the crop, like a program, crop schedule or whatever it's
called.
Yeah,
schedule, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They gave it a name, I forgot. Was it a crop schedule? Or there was anyway, making sure that you're doing things in the right cycles at the right time. Mm-hmm. And yep. You have to do it then, because if you don't do it then, your window's gone, you're knackered, you can't do it, you're going to have to wait till next year or whatever. And there's so many like strategic things involved. But what really opened my eyes was, how bad is local council, are we in? And I know we only get to see what's on telly, because they want to dramatise it and whatever else.
Yeah.
But they're making it really difficult for him to run a business, aren't they?
And the thing is as well, you say that as if that's just him. I bet this happens all over the country.
Oh, absolutely.
With so many farmers.
I bet it does. But it's quite interesting if you go back to, I think it's season two, where he puts farm tracks, and,
yes.
You know, and that's just something that farmers can do. They can lay tracks on their land. Mm. And I remember when he was sat in having a meeting, because the council had told him he had to remove these farm tracks, and he was sat in a meeting with his consultant, who's obviously a professional farming consultant, and he said there, he says, "What? So farmers aren't allowed farm tracks?" And the consultant went, "Oh yeah, farmers are allowed farm tracks. You're not allowed farm tracks."
Yeah.
And it's become very personal.
Well, is he not a farmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's Jeremy Clarkson.
What they've done is they've taken this short-sighted, ignorant approach to, he's a celebrity, he's just making TV programmes, he's not a farmer, and so they're sticking it to him and saying, "You're not having this, you're not having that, you're not having this," and they're making his life.
But you don't need a licence to be a farmer, can't you? I mean, anyone can claim to be a farmer, can't they?
But there's planning restrictions.
It's more on
what you can and can't do, in addition to what your normal business is.
But I think what's interesting is it's almost that local council have taken it among themselves of, Jeremy Clarkson's a nuisance. Basically, that's what they're doing. And they're trying to keep him on a leash, if you like. But yet, the local businesses around him, around his farm, so that the other local farmers, the other local businesses...
He's bringing them all in, isn't he?
Are fully on board with him, because it's giving them business.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's giving them business. So you've got your local businesses that he's supporting, but yet the council's going, "Oh, we're gonna deal with him. He's a nuisance." Mm. But yet the people around him are going, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah. Right, okay. So it's just basically because they don't like Jeremy Clarkson, because he could be is that the right word?
Divisive,
that's it. Again, like you were. It can be like that. I know a lot of people don't like him, a lot of people like him. So I think that's where you're saying. That council's getting on board, going, "Well, we don't like this guy." And that's what they're trying to do, put obstacle in his way.
Yeah.
Is that what that's what you're getting at?
I think the biggest thing that blows my mind with farming in general is that you can spend all this money, and this is not just Clarkson, this is farmers everywhere, obviously, that you can spend all this money on, obviously, the land in the first place, prepping the land, then the seeds and planting the seeds, the machinery and stuff to plant the seeds, then the fertilizer. You know, I think in the latest year class, I think he'd spent something like nearly £100,000 on fertilizer.
I was just going to say about that. It blows your mind, doesn't it?
You know,
yeah.
And all this on then fertilizing the fields, and then you know, you've still got the cost of harvesting and X, Y, and Z, and it can all be ruined just because of the weather.
Yeah.
If it rains,
it's rained too much.
Yeah.
Or it's been too hot, or whatever it is. And all that money, all that investment, all that time, all that hard work gone from something that you have zero control over.
Mm.
I mean, no control whatsoever.
Given that, and given some of the other things that you already know, could you be a farmer? Could you, I thought this watching that programme, that's the one question that it made me think when I was watching it. Could I be a farmer? And it's the question is almost is faceted,
multifaceted.
Multifaceted, the right word. In one aspect, I'd love being a farmer, actually, because I'm quite process driven and robotic almost. If I know what I need to do, it's almost like a checkbox list, and I will just make my way through it. And sometimes I won't stop. And if I'm really busy, I don't have to stop for a break. I can just keep going, like, you know, just plod on. And in that way, I think I'd enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, what I don't think I'd enjoy is the very early mornings in the winter when it's freezing cold and you've still got to get up that early and you've still got to graft and whatnot. But then the other side of it is exactly like you said. I'm sure there's some reward, a lot of reward to being a farmer, especially when working with the animals and stuff like that. But to have all that effort that you've just said and everything you've just said about growing crops, for it to all come crumbling down just based on the weather, that would ruin me. Mm-hmm. I think that would, it would literally just flatten me. I'd be like, it would be less of the money, and more of the time and effort and planning that had all gone into that one season's worth of crops. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm right, using the right terminology, you know, and then for it all to just boom, done.
Well, I think, I mean, you both raised a good point, because I mean, my understanding with farmers is, I mean, I think, you know, bless them, I think they have a high suicide rate within the farming industry. I think they do struggle mentally,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they do have, because it's a, like you said, it's a tough industry to be in.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got all the weather things that are going off. And then, of course, which we can probably talk about later, but all the supermarkets, you know, are they sort of squeezing them and stuff? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a tough industry for them, you know. So going back to your point, Rob, you know, getting up early in the morning, late night, it's not a 9-to-5 type job. No. Oh, I'm off at weekend. No. There's none of that going off.
No. I must admit, I think it's tough. I've thought about it before. Me and Ellen have talked about it. Ellen, obviously, she loves animals. I know it's necessarily just for the animals for me, but I think there was a time I would have loved it. I'm not so much bothered, like you say, the 9-to-5 thing. I'm not bothered because you're effectively, that's the life that you're living. Mm, yeah. You know, and you might be working all day and whatever, but you're picking and choosing when you're doing those bits as well, aren't you? So you might be at it all day, but you might have a couple of hours off to go and do something for yourself, and then come back and then carry on doing some bits. You know, it's just the overall existence. I've watched things like Yorkshire Farmer and this one with Kelvin Fletcher, you know, the guy who used to be in Emmerdale.
Yes.
And seeing how his kids are getting involved in farming and stuff, and I think, do you know what? They're going to spend so much time together as a family doing stuff. They're going to learn the skills, you know, together or pass them on or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not having to, you know, close the door behind you and go off to work, and then you come back at the end of the day and you hey up everybody and whatever, and then a couple of hours you're going to bed and whatever else. But I think it'd be a great life. I don't think it'd be an easy life, but I think it depends. It depends on what you're prepared to do work-wise.
Yeah, I think it can be highly rewarding, but at the same time highly crushing, you know, like if you get bad weather, you know what I mean? I think it can be one or the other sometimes.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, you hear a really strong gale and it blows a fence down, and you've got sheep in field, and you're like, you've just got to go and sort it, aren't you? There is no if and but.
No.
It's your job.
And there's no one else coming to save the day. It's you.
Yeah.
I mean, the opposite side of what we just said about the weather, if you've got good weather and you do yield the results that you wanted to yield.
That's the point where I'm saying it can be highly rewarding.
Yeah, that must be so rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, to think that you've created that many crops, and that must be brilliant.
Yeah, because you're not creating a I've got a bag full of potatoes. You're talking, you know, lorries full, depending on how big your farm is.
Yeah.
So that's the rewarding side of it. Going, right, you know, five lorries have turned up and taken the potatoes away or whatever it is. Yeah.
But you can, you know, diversifying yourself, saying, do you know what, I'm gonna have a go at doing this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or if you have got a problem and you've got to, you know, cobble something together, like, you know. I know it's not so much cobbling together, but when putting like an electric fence up and stuff, and you know, you're connected up to a battery and all that sort of, you know, tinkering, you know, and I think that's what farmers have to be good at. They're almost like the jack of all trades, aren't they? They've got to be good at doing different. I mean, I'm not particularly handy, but I'd want to get better at doing certain things, and I think that'd be the perfect opportunity.
I imagine a lot of them must have to be pretty decent at mechanics as well, because fixing a lot of the equipment.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that really shocked me, was when you watch it and how advanced some of the equipment is. I think you were saying that a minute ago. The equipment for, I don't know what you call it now, from the tractors to the combine harvesters.
GPS tracking and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and you think they've really got to know their stuff, you know, to operate these things. It's not just, you know, not only is there the old-fashioned way of knowing when to schedule things in, but then also you've got to work out this huge machine that genuinely looks like a cockpit.
And you're right, because some of these machines, they're not just sort of digging ground up. I mean, they are like taking carrots out and then they're pulling the bits off and then they pull that off. And then
it's incredible, isn't it, how they work?
It's moving, and they've got a truck moving next to it. Well, it's amazing to see.
I'm lucky enough that I'm back onto a field, and I watch them when they're doing the thing, and I sit just staring at them for ages, going,
"You're watching your phone.
I want to go in that tractor.
I want to be in that cab. Yeah. I want to be in that with me GoPros and everything."
I'm surprised, Rob, you've not sort of put your head over it. Dave, any chance of getting on your tractor?
I'm working on it. I'm working like, Rob, will you just shut up? Yeah, but what does that button do? What does that button do?
What does this do?
I'm surprised you haven't been out with your drone yet and followed Combine Harvester with your drone or something.
I need to ask permission first, but yeah, I would love to do that as well.
Me personally, I couldn't think of anything worse. Everything that you've just explained there, everything that you just explained, all the good, all the bad, even the good bits, I'm sat here thinking, no, thank you. The little tinkering bits, the setting up fences, the, you know, do you know what? I'm not even bothered about driving a tractor. I really, honestly, and I mean, there is no way that I'm putting my arm up an animal, up to its shoulder, you know, because it's got pigs stuck or calves stuck or whatever. Not one part of it appeals to me in any way, shape or form at all.
Well, that would be my answer as well.
Yeah, would it?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the case. Yeah. You can kind of see the difference between me and Mark sat at this side and you two sat on that side thinking we're ones that don't stop and are always a bit on the go and active and I can see that.
I mean, could I do it if I had to? Yeah, I'd get a crack.
No,
I'm sure.
I was just about to say, I'm sure
Kirk would give it a crack. He's answered it.
Mark's barn would be very organised.
Yeah.
There'd be labels on it saying sheep, pigs, cows.
I could actually see him with all the bales of straw in a thing going around with scissors trimming it because it's a bit stuck out.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, when someone says how much straw have you got, and he goes bales or strands.
all sheep running around with S's sprayed on them. Why are they sprayed with S? Sheep.
Yeah. You guys know me so well.
Yeah, but no, it's far too much hard work. It's far too much hard work. Too much stress, far too much, you know, and you're talking death, you're talking blood, you're talking guts, you're talking
cold weather,
uncertainty. None of it appeals to me whatsoever.
A question I've got is, at what age does a farmer retire? At what point do you say enough's enough? Is it normally a family thing where you hand your farm down?
I bet most farmers farm till they die.
Mm. Yeah, I reckon.
I could be wrong, but I think if you're so invested in something and you own it, you know, why would you stop?
I think it's in the blood, really, a family thing. I don't think, like Mark says, I don't think they would want to stop because it's just part of what they do.
I guess there comes a point where you're limited as to what you can do around the farm.
Yeah, you'll tinker around or, you know, drive around on track to keep out, you know.
I guess your son or your daughter then takes the reins of the hard labour and the main, and you stick more of the planning and everything else.
I think a lot of farmers would tell you that it's not a job.
It's a way of life.
So therefore, there is no even thought process of retiring. What's retiring? That is just their life. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think they'd carry on doing it while ever they could and adapt to whatever they can do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's it.
Do you know what? I've just realised I know a farmer and he's invited me to go on his tractor.
I
took him up on it. Yeah.
Really?
I went on I didn't actually go on the stag do. I couldn't make it. But at the wedding, I met him, got chatting to him, and he was like, yeah, come down. And he asked me some advice on GoPros and stuff, and he was like, come down and jump in the cab.
You're telling me you've spent hours, probably days, possibly weeks, staring over your fence at a farmer, wondering if you could have a go in his cab?
Yeah.
And in the back of your mind, somebody's already told you can have a go.
It's just dawned on me, and I'm like, I never
There's
chased...
There's no wonder he's never got any bloody time.
I never chased that up.
Who was this guy you know was a farmer?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't know him even if I told you. But
why is he in your circle of friends, a farmer?
He's a best friend of one of my neighbours. And I was invited to the neighbour's wedding. We get on really well. We've both lived there since the estate was built.
Clearly, because you went to his wedding.
And then I met him there, and yeah, great guy. And now I feel like I need to catch up with him and have more of a chat.
Well, he might be listening, so you can ask him.
I think it's an interesting question, though, like we've just answered about could we be farmers and stuff. Because, you know, we've said about like how hard work it is, how you don't know really how much you're earning and stuff like that. I think what I worry about when it comes to farming is the future of farming, yeah? So how many of a younger generation now want to be farmers? Yeah. Why would they want to be? It's hard graft.
Yeah.
I just finished. Or you were just emphasising your point. I think you're absolutely right. But because I think it's more of a family thing, I think that I don't think we'll need to worry too much about, because I don't think it's something you're going to go, I want to do that as a career, and you walk into it. I don't think you would go from being like an electrician or me, a DJ, and go, oh, I want to do farming. I think it's probably more of a family thing.
You say that, one half of Groove Armada's a farmer.
Yeah.
Guitarist from Blur's a farmer.
Well, yeah, and so's, what's his, what we've just been talking about, Jeremy Clarkson. He was not originally a farmer, was he?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
He was a journalist.
But
I mean, these are sort of celebrities and stuff have got a bit of money, but.
Ain't one of JLC?
JLS.
JLC.
Show me age. JLS.
JB Gill.
I think JLC are the
Magaluf name.
Tribute Act. But JLS.
Yeah, JB Gill.
Yes.
Yeah. I weren't making up some initials.
I'll be honest with you. I genuinely have a clue you were talking about.
I only know that because he was on telly the other day talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think they are, but these are celebrities wanting to do something because they're a bit like you and you two, Mark and Rob, where they're going, let's give this a try. But would an average person want to do it? Maybe, but I don't think they are. So I think it's more of a family thing.
Which I agree with you. It is a family thing, and farms get passed throughout the family generations, but it's still got to earn money.
Of course, but I think farming's going to go in technology-wise, it's going to go in a completely different direction. I don't mean like next couple of years, but in the future, we're going to be growing stuff in labs and stuff, aren't we? With, you know, vegetables and stuff.
I think
that's where it's going to go.
Yes, I think that's the only way it can go. But then we're starting talking about, do we have the space for things like this? I mean, and again, another thing that blows my mind when I watch programmes like that is just the sheer volume of things. And then my mind goes to the extreme, obviously, you know. So I see them that they're harvesting wheat or, you know, for flour or, you know, harvesting potatoes and stuff. And then it gets me thinking then. I kind of go, yeah, but how many fields must it take to field the amount of potatoes, for instance, that we go through?
Yeah,
as a nation, just in the UK, on a day to day basis or on a year to year basis.
Because I'm assuming we'd probably import some potatoes as well.
Surely we'd have. Of course we would. We'd have to.
We import a lot of vegetables.
In some market you see different, you know, potatoes from Spain and things like that. Yeah.
I wouldn't know, and do know. Do we export much of our veg?
Well, apparently, and I'm not going to sit here as an expert, but if it's one thing that someone did say to me the other day, who does know a bit more about it. We actually export most of our farming stuff because we can get more money for it, or the farmer can get more money for it by exporting than keeping it local.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Which is just baffling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
I don't think it comes as no surprise that a lot of farms now have their own farm shops, do they? And so they can sell their own produce and get more for it. So you're not getting like the likes of Asda and Morrison's and any of the other big supermarkets squeezing them and saying, well, you know, we're only going to give you whatever we're going to give you. Like it or lump it, you know. Because I think there is an element of that, ain't there?
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of these big supermarkets that literally, they tell them what they're paying.
Mm.
The farmer doesn't choose. They tell them what they're paying for certain things. Mm. And because you can't, a farmer at any major scale can't afford not to be in Tesco, Asda or whatever, then they just have to go along with the price of that. It's just the sheer volume of something.
Yeah, but I mean, surely we can all agree that it's the big five supermarkets bully the farmers.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's what it's all about. It's all about power. It's all about leverage. And they, like you said, they set the price. I mean, milk's a good example. I mean, if you're going back a few years ago, even now I think that I don't even think farmers make any profit on milk. I think they provide it to the supermarkets at a loss. They don't make any money from it, but they do it because of the other contracts they have with them. Mm-hmm. So if they don't produce milk, well, I can't afford. Well, then we're not buying your meat from you. We're not buying this from you, and that's just bullying, and it's wrong.
Yeah,
you know. And this is why, going back to my point with farmers, why there's a, you know, it's a bad industry. It's a hard industry, should I say, for them, because they just squeeze them too much because they've got too much power.
They have got too much power. And then on the other side of that, They have all this product and they have all this produce, and then a lot of it goes to waste.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's what I mean about having how it affecting the price, because they've got to offset the price of what they waste. That's what I'm saying.
And then to bring it full circle, based on what you said a minute ago, is what does the future look like?
Yeah.
And does the youth of today want to go into farming? Well, I guess if they're seeing their families and what the not hardships, but the difficulties that they're having to deal with these sorts of issues, that doesn't bode well, does it, with people wanting to stand in their father's footsteps and mother's footsteps.
Well, you said it, I thought, where's he going with this?
They don't want to stand in their father or mother's footsteps because of things like that, you know. Yep. And that's not the only thing. It's also the fact that, and I don't want to bash the youth, but there's also a lot of, it feels like there's a bit of a lazy culture coming, you know. Not all of them, definitely not, but they don't necessarily want to do a hard graft, and that could also be another.
Which you're right, but maybe they're onto a thing there, Rob. You mentioned it earlier about when does a farmer retire. Well, I'll tell you something, with the retirement age and stuff like that, where it's going, we're all going to be working till we're 80 or 90.
I know.
So I'll tell you something.
Well, I won't be, because I'm retiring soon.
Yeah, well, you're nearly there, 80 or 90. But the if you were to choose now, coming into a workforce, why would you choose hard labour? In anything, not just farming, in anything. If you know that you've got 60 years of it, of hard graft and hard labour, you wouldn't even make it, would you?
I don't know. I think some of these farmers in the 70s and 80s are probably really quite fit.
Well, yeah, but so even then, I would like to think that our working... I mean, we retire, or supposed to retire, at 68, aren't we? That's our retirement age.
67, I think, when we get there.
Well, 2051 is the age I retire. I know that.
I think guys are 68. I'm 67. Right,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which still feels like an age away for us at 40. Yeah, yeah. Still feels like an age away. Yeah. And if that keeps going up, I mean, that's...
Well, I don't think it'll go up any... Well, I know what you're saying. It will go up in years to come. It won't go up for now, because you'll be locked in because of the age.
Not for us.
But for the younger generation. I mean, for Ethan, my son, he's 22. So there's a danger that when he gets, obviously, older, by 30, they might have raised it up because he's outside that catchment area.
What age do they decide what age you're going to retire at?
What?
At what age do they decide what age you're going to retire at?
You just said they
can't change hours because we're locked in.
Well, you're locked in because of your age. They can't sort of give you, say, oh, we're giving you 10 years notice. No, but
yeah, but at what age do they decide that you're locked in at 67 or 68?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I think it's about 25, 30 years notice they need to give you. I think the
WASPI women would have something to say about that, Mark.
I just remind me who they are again.
So they're the Women Against State Pension Increase, I think I want to say. So they're the ones that I think they got told at the age of... So they were supposed to retire at 60.
Yeah.
And I think they got told at the age of 55 that they couldn't retire at 60, that they had to retire at 65 or whatever it were. So they only got something like 5 years' notice that they couldn't retire at the age that they were supposed to retire at.
I remember that, but that wasn't that. You're right, and shouldn't be happening. That's unfair. But this didn't happen 5 years ago. You're talking we're talking years and years ago, aren't we?
We're talking about 10 years ago.
Was that when the
I
new?
I don't think it was 10 years ago.
Was that when the new policy came in? Because there's the old retirement policy. And there's the new one, isn't there, that came in. I can't remember when it came in, but there's a new one.
None of us know anything, really, do we?
That differentiates between what age you retire and what you get and what you don't get. Do you know what I mean? They've made certain caps on certain things. And all I remember seeing is, when I looked ages back, was that there was a new policy from a certain date, and we're in the new policy. Mark, you'll be in the new policy, but...
I think it was the whole changes that they did. I think it were about 10 years ago, mate.
I thought it were longer. I thought it were 90s.
No, my mother-in-law is a WASPI woman.
Oh, okay,
she's literally fighting the case now about...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not right. They should give you more notice. I mean, they can't just say, right, we're sticking it up. Well, I want you to retire in 5 years or 10.
What chance have you got of doing anything about it?
You can't, that's the point.
Do you take your retirement seriously? Have you thought about it?
I have started doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at my pension contributions and thinking, right, I need to start lumping some more in. The planning of what I want to do when I retire.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be a farmer, don't you?
Yeah.
When you retire.
Yeah.
Are you saying financially, or as in, do you want to retire, or
I guess firstly, financially.
Well, funny you should say that. I mean, that's what me and Aina's been doing. This what we've been doing for the last sort of year or so, sorting this pension. Because obviously I'm self-employed, so my pensions is completely different from you guys. Obviously,
it's taken you a year to sort your pension out.
No, I don't. It's been taking a year. I mean, we've been trying to sort stuff, all this financials out from life. You know, because obviously, again, because I'm self-employed, I don't get holiday pays, I don't get sick pay, I don't have a pension, I don't have. What's the other thing I'm thinking? I don't have life cover. You know that. You know, there's all this stuff I don't have, and I know you could say, "Well, I should have sorted this out years ago." You're right, and this is what I'm trying to sort out. But it's taking time to sort out.
It does, though. I know we've been looking at Gemma's as well, and obviously she's got an NHS pension, and then you add that into a private pension.
That's right.
She no longer works for the NHS, and
there's a lot of moving around to do.
Finding out the information that you need to know to be able to say to a financial advisor, "This is how much money I've got. Can you tell me if I'm heading in the right direction at retirement?" But getting all them figures can be so difficult sometimes.
Well, Martin Lewis has actually put them online, hasn't he?
Well, let me.
There's like a general rule that you can apply.
Yeah, but sometimes it's finding. Sorry, Mark.
Sorry.
Sometimes it's finding what your physical figures are for you to then apply into a calculation or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, because I thought your pension companies by law had to send you an annual statement.
Annual statement.
Well, not the NHS.
Well, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to go back to you were saying about a year. I mean, for example, like, I've just taken out some life insurance cover. It 3 months it took my doctor to send my medical records to my insurance company.
Wow.
3 months it took them, and they charged the insurance company £136 for them to send the records to me. So it takes time, and it obviously. Mm. I mean, I didn't pay £136; the insurance company did. But it just shows you 3 months for that to be done.
Yeah, I think those.
Based
on that rule of thumb you were saying, the last one I remember knowing about was at 30 years old.
Yeah,
you need to be putting 10% of your wage in.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gone to a point now where if I get a wage increase due to the fact that certain thresholds, tax thresholds, aren't going up, that's when I increase my percentage pension each year.
Yeah.
So I'm putting more into my pension and less in against tax, you know?
While we're talking about pensions, if I may take a minute just to give a bit of listener advice.
Absolutely.
So it actually came from Martin Lewis, but just in case anyone's not seen it, and the only reason why I know how accurate it is because I know somebody that's actually done this.
All right.
So some of you out there might be listening, might remember something called SERPs.
Do you remember SERPs? Yeah, I remember SERPs.
So I don't know the ins and the outs and details. I think it was the first stab at what they did back in the 70s.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah. to do with like a little bit like workplace pensions and putting pension contributions somewhere else. But then it all kind of fell apart. It didn't amount to much and people just moved on from it. But a lot of people signed into or out of SERPs, whichever way around it were, because it meant that they got a couple extra quid in the pay packet at the end of every month. And this SERPs accounts have been sat there dormant. And anyone that may remember SERPs and maybe have been working at that time, contact the Inland Revenue.
Inland Revenue.
And ask them. And they will give you an answer on whether you've got a SERPs account sat somewhere. They'll also then tell you who it's with and your membership number. You can contact them people and see how much your pot is worth. So I know somebody, actually know somebody that's done this.
They managed to get through to Inland Revenue.
I don't
believe you.
Yeah. Contacted the Inland Revenue. They told them the membership number and who their SERPs account with. Contacted them and they'd got £30,000 out there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Is it worth them going on to Martin Lewis's website? Is there more information? Is there going to be a lot more information?
It's Martin Lewis that announced it. He did it. It was originally done. So the person that I'm talking about saw it on TikTok. But yes, I'm sure it's on Martin Lewis's website or whatever. But just point it out there while we're talking about it.
Yep, good.
Anybody that certainly look into it, because I know firsthand from someone that's done that. It was two phone calls and now the £30,000 better off.
So that's the financial side of retirement. What does your retirement look like when you have actually retired?
Okay.
What do you want it to be?
I'm not convinced I'll get there, so I'll let you move on.
Why do you think you'll get there?
I genuinely don't think I'll get to retirement.
Really?
No. So.
Motorhoming, all over.
Mate, I am 1,000,000% behind you in my motorhome.
Yeah.
You're probably not wanting to. Are you okay with coming to the same place?
Yeah. Fill your boots.
How's that sound for you, man? Yeah. Rob just following you around the world. Yeah. Just
weirdo. It'll be the big toe on tour.
You know, the campsites or whatever. We'll pull up and go, oh, not these two. Yeah.
Is that the big toe? Sure is.
The big toe in tow.
Big toe in tow.
On tour.
What about you, Mark?
Me?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really want to retire. I think I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I'll always.
What's that? Organising your garage.
Organising my garage. That's right. Well, just DJing. I mean, Aina keeps saying to me, when do you think about retiring? I'm like, I have no plans to retire. I've got too much to do. I've got, you know. So no.
Do you find as you're getting older, when you're DJing,
yeah,
people come up and ask for artists, and you go, never heard of them. You know, like when you're younger and you talk about artists to your parents or whatever, and they'll be like, well, I've never heard of them. And then you become that person, and somebody will say, oh, have you got this song? And you go, I don't even know what you've just said. Let alone who sings it.
I'll be honest, it happens very, very rarely, because I study the top 40 every single week.
Right.
I look at every artist that's come in. So it's very rare that people catch me out with artists.
Right. Okay.
Very rare, because I'm on the ball with music so much. Because I do 18ths, I do 21st. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm, you know, when urban music. So no. So I mean,
I've got another question for you.
Oh, just skip over that then. Yeah.
You carry on, DJ Mark. Next.
What age do you want to retire?
Well, I think I've answered
this. There's a retirement age.
Yeah.
But what age would you like?
If I could afford to. Probably 55, if I could afford to.
We've got a few things in common, you know.
I know that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't fancy us going on tour together, because it's chaotic enough just being me, let alone being me and having you next to me.
I'd love to retire at 55, I've got to say. Whether it's feasible or not, I mean, you can work that out. And I'd like to think I'm not far off. But
I've got a question, though.
Okay.
If you two are, like, buggering off and in your motorhomes and...
Yeah, what about me and Kirk?
When are we going to record a podcast?
We can do it on the phone. In fact, technology by
over
then...
Over the phone?
We'll be wearing VR headsets. Yeah. And we'll be pretty much in the same room anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Time at the bar, please.
From one piece of entertainment to another. Oh. It's time for the Wheel of Features.
Yay!
Oh, yes! Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Oh. Come on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So before we do spin the wheel this week, we've got plot puzzle to answer from last week.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I gave you 5 descriptive words from a film. Mm-hmm. You've got to tell me what the name of the film was.
Yeah.
Those 5 words were prison guard encounters supernatural justice.
So I think I know it.
Yeah.
Right.
I know
Kirk,
it.
What do you think it is?
Green Mile.
Mark?
No idea.
Yeah, absolutely Green Mile.
No idea. Not even seen Green Mile.
surprise.
Is it a film?
Yeah, you were right. Green Mile.
Yeah, get in.
So it was remembered, boys.
What's that?
It's not all on me this week.
Oh, yeah, we got us features, didn't we?
You've got your features ready,
Well, already.
Okay, right. Stand by.
Here we go.
We're ready with the wheel.
Spin
the wheel. Here we go.
Where's it going to land on?
What's...
Hey! So, it is Today in History.
Oh, who's got that?
That's me! Mark.
Is that you?
It's me!
It's you, Mark!
I'm so excited, this is good.
You are history, aren't you?
Yeah, I literally am. Well, listen, obviously I've done my own work, you tell me to do, so I've got... So
what is it then? What is Today in History?
I'll let you explain.
Well, what it is, obviously today, because it's June the 21st, you know, that's when those episodes drop today. And I've got some facts about this day in history. So let me tell you, that's what
it
is.
Okay.
So let me tell you about... So I'm going to start way, way back. I'm talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
So let's start when, in 1675, on this day...
June 21st, your birthday? Sorry, Mark.
Right?
Sorry.
This is quite interesting. So the first stone for St. Paul's Cathedral was placed...
Where did you put it?
I was sort of busy that way.
That long ago?
Well, which is weird, because the thing is, this St. Paul's Cathedral replaced another, like, Gothic cathedral that was already there. And the reason why they built St. Paul's Cathedral is because the previous one had burnt down in the Great Fire of London.
Oh, wow.
So that's why St. Paul's Cathedral was built, because the previous one had burnt down. However,
this is like a history lesson, isn't it?
It is, right? So it was Christopher Wren that designed the...
Don't you sell kitchens?
He does, you know. He's gone from churches to kitchens. So anyway, he was only 34 years old when he did this St. Paul's Cathedral.
Wow.
And another fight, this is amazing, right? St. Paul's Cathedral, that was the fifth cathedral they'd built on there. So before that, there were other cathedrals before St. Paul's and before this Gothic one. And there'd been a church on that spot since 604.
One made out of feathers and one made out of straw and one made out of...
Yeah, puff and I'll puff.
Yeah, exactly that. Not 1604, 604. There's been a church on that very spot.
Well, you know what these planning permissions are like, Mark. I've got planning permission for something. So that would be staying history.
Hey, listen, I've got more.
Oh, right.
So I've got more. Let's do the next one, which would be... this is 1749... Halifax is the town's created.
In what year?
Created?
Or made, or whatever. 1749.
So what was it before?
Rotherham. I don't know. It would just land, I guess.
So on this day in 1749, Halifax cut a red ribbon and went, we are Halifax.
We're open.
Oh, I'm not sure they had ribbon. but that's what happened.
Right, cool. Right.
Are you happy with you like these? Yeah, I can tell you. Well, let's do another one. So this is 1779.
Yeah.
Right? Spain declares war against Great Britain.
Oh. Did we win?
We won.
Right, yeah, fab.
Well. Are you going to ask why? Don't.
Why?
Why?
Oh, I don't know. No, I do. I come prepared because I knew it was one of you. So it's because Spain's King Charles III wouldn't consent to a treaty of alliance with the US. I know that opens more, as in, well, tell me more, but I can't tell you more because I don't know, because I'd run out of time, so I had to go for my dinner. So anyway, I'll surely move on to the next fight.
Give us one more, Mark. Give us one more.
I've got a few more.
Oh, right, okay. Well, he's done his homework, he wants more. You do know, it will land on you again at some point.
Yeah, but it'll be a different day.
Oh, of course it will.
Yeah, this is day in history.
Today in history.
Are you not getting this? You started the wheel of... Hang on, Rob. You started the wheel of features. I'm going to say fortune.
It won't be saying if I went to you.
So it's going to be a different
day.
It'll
be the 28th of June, and they've just laid the second stone at St. Paul's Cathedral.
Exactly. Right, so let's move on to... So this is 1887 now. This is all true, Barry. I'm not making this up.
I believe you.
1887, Queen Victoria celebrates her Golden Jubilee.
Jubilee?
Golden Jubilee.
Jubilee. Like a Jubilee.
Oh, yeah.
Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Is that...
Same thing.
Is that Del Boy celebrating with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, silver jubilee, jubilee.
Should we do another one?
Jubilee. I'll tell you what, Victoria, it's a lovely jubilee.
Well, the only reason why I pronounce it that way is because that's how Rob told me to pronounce it.
Right, there
we go. So let's do 1913.
Oh, we're getting closer.
We're getting closer to sort of my year now. First woman parachutes in world. Listen, I know it's random. But you're like,
yeah, this woman, first parachute.
I know.
Did she intend to?
Shall I Google that? Yeah. Right. So next one, where are we off?
Are we the end?
Do you not like these?
Yeah, they're brilliant. Keep going.
Magna Carta.
1948.
Yeah.
Right. Columbia Records unveils their 33 revs per minute. So you're old enough to remember 33 revs per minute, don't you?
Revs per minute?
Yeah, 33 the speed on a turntable.
Revolutions per minute.
Oh, right, yeah. I didn't know it were classed as revs per minute. Sure. I didn't know that.
Revolutions, RPMs.
I just didn't know it were called that.
Well, you've learned that.
I am.
So they've unveiled that in 1948, Columbia Records, and it was obviously an LP, 20 minutes each side. And that basically wiped out the 78, as in the speed, within 10 years. So they were defunct. So that's when that was created.
Wow.
Do you want more?
Rob's
getting bored.
This podcast is going to be an hour long.
Yeah, we need to put it on 33.
1970.
Oh.
Right. World Cup final in Mexico. Brazil beat Italy 4-1. And Pelé becomes the first team and player to win three times.
Pelé's a team?
That's what he says on this paper. Shall I have a word with writer?
Yeah.
And one more, Mark. One more.
One more. So 2003, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix was published worldwide on this day in history. And that was the fifth book, I believe. Is that right?
Brilliant, yes. Yeah.
There you go. Wow. That's my. Do you think I've done well for my first one?
I think that's a brilliant feature.
That was an incredible.
I've got a feeling you guys are going to go, don't come back.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
It was like a glance back through your life.
What were you going to say, Bob?
And you certainly can't say that we're not educational.
No. Absolutely. We're just covering all bases, aren't
absolutely.
We?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've just forgot one, and it's Prince William's birthday today.
Oh,
happy birthday, Prince William. William.
1985, I think you were born. Let me
Prince
look
William, 1982, the same year as me.
And on that note,
you're right.
It's been a pleasure, boys.
Nice one, Mark.
See you next week.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com? That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.